being dudes here on the Draft Dudes podcast, presented by Locked On. It's Joe Marino and Kyle Krabs from the Draft Network, and we are your hosts here on this Friday episode of the show. We're talking AFC West today to tie a ribbon on this recap series that we've been running now for 2 weeks. As a reminder, today's episode of Draft Dudes is brought to you by Built Bar. I had the peanut brownie yesterday, and it was amazing like they all are. Remember, promo code Locked On gets you $10 off your first order at BuiltBar.com. Kyle, good morning.
Sorry, I'm wiping my mouth here. I'm drooling. All Built Bars. I had a chocolate peanut butter brownie for breakfast this morning.
Yeah.
But thanks to Built Bar, only 140 calories. Hey.
Yeah. They are delicious and the nutrition facts don't make sense. But
it's witchcraft, first of all. But it's been cool to see the listeners like get in on the train. You know?
Getting people big boards and scouting reports.
What flavors should I get?
Yeah.
People sending us pictures of boxes and join the movement. That's all I gotta say.
Yeah. We need your scouting reports and big boards for your Built Bar flavors.
Yeah, agreed. So, big facts. AFC West, last of the series.
The wait is finally over for fans of the Broncos, Chiefs, Chargers, and Raiders. Yeah. All right, let's start with the Denver Broncos. They picked Jerry Jeudy, wide receiver, Alabama at 15 at 46. KJ Hamler, wide receiver, Penn State, 77. Cornerback Michael Ojemudia from Iowa, 83, center Lloyd Cushenberry from LSU, 95, defensive tackle McTelvin Aguim from Arkansas, 118, they got tight end Albert Okwuegbunam from Missouri, Drew Locke's former college tight end, 178, Justin Sternard from Wake Forest. They got all the hard names to pronounce here. 181, interior offensive lineman Natane Mutai from Fresno State, 252, Tyree Cleveland, wide receiver, Florida, and 254, edge rusher Derek Tuzka from North Dakota State.
There you go.
Every hard name to pronounce, the Denver Broncos, they drafted him.
Man, this is a good class.
Agreed.
I like the raw value they get with Jeudy, who is my sixth rated player at 15. Hamler was a plus value for me as well. I love the speed component that they're really embracing. They're probably not going to win their track meets against the Kansas City Chiefs, but they'll win a lot of track meets against a lot of other teams with the speed that you're talking with a 4.5 flat tight end and Noah Fant, Jeudy, Hamler, Cortland Sutton is your big body guy on the outside. This is an impressive job by Denver assembling a really strong supporting cast where if Drew Locke doesn't work, it's going to be Drew Locke's fault because the personnel that they've assembled on offense for a supporting cast is everything you could possibly want it to be. I think Denver did a great job with their first five picks. The top 100 guys all check good boxes for me.
Yeah, I mean, and look, if Drew Locke doesn't work out, just get Aaron Rodgers next year and go prosper, right? Jeez. I think that's the plan here. No, the only question I have, and I wrote about this, is developing players around developing players, right? All these weapons in the passing game are young. I mean, Cortland Sutton, your most experienced, meaningful wide receiver, and he's entering year three. You know, you got Fant, who's a tight end in year two, and then Hamler, Jeudy. You love the complementary skill sets, pairing them with Sutton, but those are going to be rookies. So it's going to take some time here for this to come together a little bit. But I certainly love the collection of talent. You can't hate that. I love these, a couple of third-round picks here they had, and Michael Ojemudia, who's, I think, an ideal scheme fit for Vic Fangio's defense. He'll be able to play very good zone defense, layering coverage. I think he's very savvy in cover two, cover three type looks. And then Cushenberry, you know, anytime you give Mike Munchak an offensive lineman, you get excited about them reaching their ceiling. But, you know, this is a team here that added Graham Glasgow. They got Dalton Risner last year in the draft. Now you plug, you know, Lloyd Cushenberry into this thing and you get really excited about the makeup of this interior offensive line. And, you know, they got the altitudes there in Denver. You want to be able to grind games out and really get those defenses sucking wind. And, well, here's three powerful dudes that are going to get after you with that deep running back field. And, oh, by the way, they've got a potent passer with a lot of speed in their weaponry. So I like the makeup of this offense. You know this defense is going to be stout under Fangio.
Yeah. I even like some of the guys that they pulled on day three, whether it's Tuska or Nite Mutai, who had durability issues, which was a big catalyst for him falling. Justin Sternad. I liked his film at Wake Forest, looked really good. He had a great game against Utah State as far as, you know, winning in coverage underneath and showing some range. Yes. And even Tyree Cleveland, like, he didn't get a lot of production at Florida, but none of the receivers at Florida got a lot of production because their passing offense isn't very good. But, you know, as a height, weight, speed, potential special teams type player,
yeah,
makes a lot of sense. So, you know, you make a good point about, like, youth over youth and what that could extrapolate to be as far as issues for Denver as a team trying to gel. But, like, you have to look at this core now in the long run. And, you know, maybe 2020 doesn't materialize the way that you would like it to or you envision it to do. But in the long run, this is a really strong infusion of talent on both sides of the ball, really, if you count Michael Ojemudia, who I had ranked 76th. I think I was pretty high on. He went 77. So that was kind of like a cool, like, justification of, like, how I felt about him as a player. Lloyd Cushenberry going at 83 is like stealing him at that late in the draft as far as a center or guard potential player who can win with power and has a strong anchor in the middle. So, and I just think, forget about where I had players ranked versus where they got picked. Like, every one of these picks makes sense. And that, most importantly, is a sign of a good draft.
Last note I'll make here is Sternard and Mutai. If those guys were healthy, they get picked 100 spots earlier. You know, they're both top 100 talents in terms of their game tape. So, you know, I think with this many picks that they had, you know, I think at that point to take a couple of calculated risks and, you know, see if you can get those guys to drink a little milk and get healthy, you know, there'd be a couple of nice deals there potentially, maybe one. Yeah, I don't know. I always said that about guys that get hurt. You got to drink some
milk. You know what pairs good with milk?
Mm-hmm.
Built Bar, baby. So, as Joe mentioned at the top of the show, we do have a special offer for listeners of Draft Dudes and of the Locked On Network to get into the action here with these Built Bars. They are excellent. They're light. They're satisfying to eat. The flavors are really good. There's great variety with the flavors. And the biggest thing for me is the texture. You know, most protein bars, you feel like you're chewing on the sole of your shoe, and that's not the experience that you get here. This is like chewing on a candy bar. So BuiltBar.com, promo code LOCKEDON gets you $10 off your first box of Built Bar. Please, we implore you to join the movement. Get yourself a box of Built Bars. We guarantee you will not regret it. That is BuiltBar.com, promo code LOCKEDON for $10 off your first box. Joe, Kansas City Chiefs.
Yeesh.
Running back Clyde Edwards-Helaire from LSU at pick 32.
First linebacker, round.
Yes, first round running back, believe it or not.
Wow, RB1.
Linebacker Willie Gay Jr. from Mississippi State at 63. Offensive tackle Lucas Niang, TCU at 96. Safety Legarius Sneed from Louisiana Tech at 138. Defensive end Mike Dana from Michigan at 177. Cornerback Bo Pete Keys from Tulane at 237. That is the Kansas City Chiefs draft class in the year of 2020.
You think if Clyde Edwards-Helaire was drafted by a different team in the first round, there'd be some more noise about that pick?
Probably.
But it's the Chiefs. They got Mahomes. They were coming off the Super Bowl championship. RBs don't matter, do matter, whatever. They said, you know what, this is the guy we want to get. And obviously, a beautiful scheme fit, right? I mean, what he can do in terms of running routes and good vision and contact balance. I mean, he'll be a great running back for this football team. But, you know, you kind of scratch your head and say, well, you know, you kind of felt like you needed some defensive help there, whether that was a corner or maybe a defensive lineman. Who knows what's going to happen long term with Chris Jones. You had a chance to get some talent there, but you know, this kind of goes back to something that I think I'm not going to say that you fully employ, but I know that you kind of like this idea is like, keep investing in your strengths and just make them really good. I mean, this team won the Super Bowl right last year with this defense. And the reason they did is because of what they had on offense, and they got their offense better in Clyde Edwards-Helaire, who maybe you didn't think he was a first round value, but you know, you can't hate the impact that I think he'll make on this football team.
No, and I think that struck me as the big thing for Kansas City with both of their early picks was they went running back and linebacker. The positional value truthers are probably rolling all over, losing sleep at night, thinking about the Super Bowl champions picked a running back and a linebacker in the top 64 picks of the NFL draft. Unbelievable. And that these are the kinds of teams that can afford to make these picks, right?
Yeah.
Because you are a team that is in a win now window. You have a quarterback on a rookie deal. You have the opportunity to fully flesh out your roster, to do something on the offensive side of the ball, as you said, to make a strength into an identity and to really double down on what you do well. You want to call it a luxury pick? I don't care what you want to call it. It's a smart pick for the Chiefs. Because I'm sorry, unless you were going to pick somebody that was going to be replacing a starter 2 years from now, who else were you going to pick at this juncture offensively that was going to give you something new for the Chiefs? Had to be running back.
Yeah.
Well, and they had Damian Williams and the Utah State kid were their two backs.
Darwin Thompson, yeah. I think, you know, kind of lost in some of the positional value discussions is that having good running backs and having good linebackers isn't a bad thing, right? Like, it's not like you're not a better football team if you're able to get good players in those spots. I think where the challenges might come is from the contracts that you would pay to them down the line and committing big dollars to those types of positions. But, you know, Willie Gay, look, I mean, he's definitely got to take some steps on the mental side of the game, but I mean, he's a heat-seeking missile, a total physical freak in terms of athleticism and the way he plays the game, man. That's a guy that's going to like be a tone setter for your defense that can play in space. But I think we can both agree our favorite pick is probably Lucas Niang at 96, brother. Man.
Yeah.
Giving this guy to Andy Reid. He's big and mobile, and he's powerful. And, you know, I don't think he's going to take Mitchell Schwartz's job, but maybe you look at it as a successor to Eric Fisher. But if nothing else, you got some really good depth here in this player. And you know, they were able to kind of sit and wait. And obviously the hip injury impacted Nang's draft status. But, man, a great top 100 pick there. And I love getting some young bodies on this offensive line that quite honestly needed it.
Best player available at a high-value position of need.
Yeah.
So go ahead and stuff the first round running back complaints back in the bag.
I low key like Legarius Sneed too. I think he's got some versatility in the defensive backfield, good athleticism, and he's got safety corner ability. So I think that was a good value pick on day three to find an answer there.
Yeah, Bo Pete Key's fun little football player too. So I like a lot of what the Chiefs did. I think it makes sense for their football team. I wasn't super crazy about Willie Gay's tape, but as you said, he's all potential as far as how explosive he is and how much range he has. And his tackle radius is very notable with his wingspan too. So I get the pick, and it makes sense for Kansas City because of, again, where they are as a football team.
All right. Two more to get to, Kyle. Let's do the Chargers.
You want me to read this off?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, two first-round picks for the LA Chargers. They drafted quarterback Justin Herbert at 6 from Oregon, traded up for linebacker Kenneth Murray from Oklahoma at 23, Joshua Kelly, running back UCLA at 112, wide receiver Joe Reed from Virginia at 151, safety Alohi Gilman from Notre Dame at 186, and wide receiver KJ Hill from Ohio State at 220.
Clearly have an example here of the Chargers following the Bills model, you know, going out and getting their Josh Allen and Tremaine Edmonds and Justin Herbert and Kenneth Murray, just following the blueprints been put out there for them. So listen, I like the idea of Herbert for this football team. I wrote about him as one of the picks I was worried about, and I think that's fair. But at the end of the day, I like what this Chargers team has around him. This offensive line is better. They have, you know, Mike Williams and Keenan Allen and Hunter Henry and, you know, Austin Eckler. They've got good weapons. I like the infrastructure here, and I love Tyrod Taylor as kind of that bridge quarterback. And I think Tyrod's like the consummate professional NFL quarterback that works his ass off, has great leadership and intangibles. And that's exactly what you want to plug in next to Herbert as he acclimates himself to this football team and eventually becomes, you know, hopefully for the Chargers, the face of the team. So you're not going to have one thing to say bad about his physical ability. It's just a matter of, can he start working through progressions a little bit quicker? Can he find more success when he's pressured and getting off structure and throwing on the move, which is things you would really expect for a guy that has his type of size, athleticism, and arm talent. So definitely a reasonable chance at finding your answer at quarterback. And I really like kind of this infrastructure that exists to get the most out of Herbert.
Okay, Joe, let me ask you this.
Yeah.
You look at this draft class. What do you make of the opportunity cost of losing 71 to go from picking 37th to 23rd?
I think it's a reasonable trade up. That's not that much to give to move up more than 20 spots or not. What is that? How many spots is that? 15 spots or something?
14 spots.
14 spots to get back into the first round. You get a fifth year option out of that. If you believe in Kenneth Murray, we can argue the player, but I think from a trade, it didn't seem that ridiculous to me.
No, not the points value, but rather just like going up and getting a linebacker in the first round.
I wouldn't have done it.
Because that is the bit of a sticking point for me, whereas this is all you got on day one and day two. Right? It's Herbert and Murray, and that's it. Then you picked in the fourth round and you went with Josh Kelly. But as far as like, I like Kenneth Murray as a football player, I had him rated 30th. So like, I've got no problem with the pick. I liked Justin Herbert. I had him rated 11th. Well, I like both the players that they got. I just sit here and, you know, not assessing this draft class based on numbers or anything and just asking myself, would I have rather had 37 and 71? I don't know. It at least made me ask the question and stop to think.
Yeah, you basically say we're not going to have a third round pick, but we're going to get these two players. That's literally right. It. So, you know, I know that's somewhat of a higher pick. So you think about it, but I don't know if those are your guys. You know, I'm not going to hate it too much. I would not have traded up for Kenneth Murray.
They got my guy in Alohi Gilman though. That's my guy. You want to talk about my guys? Alohi Gilman's my guy.
They got my guy and Joe Reed. You want to talk about my guys? Joe Reed's one of my guys.
Okay, so this is a brand team now. This is officially a brand team.
Based on one pick, Joe Reed's, I've been talking him up for a while. Really good kick returner. He's got size, speed. I like his ability to be just kind of a versatile weapon for your offense. If you want to get him going on some jet sweeps, you want to get him the ball quick, ask him to create. He's got some vertical ability, and he's a dynamic return guy. I mean, you talk about a mid to late day three pick. I don't know how you find more value than a guy like Joe Reed.
The Chargers were the team who second most closely drafted in accordance to my rankings this year. Not saying they're my second favorite draft class, but just based off the raw numbers. They were number two behind Arizona in this year's draft class.
Fun fact about the Chargers, they are 100% since 2011 and picking up fifth-year options for their first-round picks.
Oh, it's a nice little wagon to hitch yourself to, right?
Yeah, well.
Do you feel like they missed an opportunity to add anything? I mean, specifically for me, I'm sitting here thinking about the offensive line.
Yeah, because Sam Tevy is
a single offensive lineman to this roster.
Right. You're still playing with fire with Dan Feeney. Mike Pouncey wasn't himself last year.
Pouncey hasn't been himself for like 4 years now.
You're really going to roll with Sam Tevy? I know you took Trey Pipkins stupid high last year, but I mean, that's not going to give you a lot of confidence here. I don't know. Maybe they're still believing Forrest Lamp's going to be healthy and be a meaningful player for them. But yeah, that's my concern, is a couple spots on that offensive line. But that's been the damn problem with the Chargers for a long time. Now, to their credit, they added Trey Turner and Brian Bulaga to this group, but we still have questions.
Right, and like how long-term of an answer is Brian Bulaga? At least Trey Turner's like in his mid-20s.
Yeah. Yeah, you'd like to see them do something here. Go get Jason Peters, man.
Nah, Peters going back to Philly.
Is he really? Is that a thought?
I believe so.
I mean, it needs to happen. Get it done.
I'd like to see Peters come to Miami. What
do you think? I bet you would. A lot of people were surprised to see KJ Hill fall that far. Not me. I thought his tape wasn't that good.
He just doesn't have a trait, in my opinion, that you hang your hat on and you're like, okay, at the end of the day, he's another one of the crafty route runner slot receivers who is probably going to carve out a nice little niche role for himself at the pro level, but I don't think he has dominant athletic traits to be able to be a standout player.
Yeah, I think his ball skills are really shaky too. So that's my thought.
That nice one-hander though.
He did, but you watch them all. He's a player that we got a lot of game tape on, right? We've been watching KJ Hill play ball for a while, and little questionable to me. So, hey, this is all about Justin Herbert, and they need him to be their franchise quarterback. And so it'll be fun to see how he develops. Start the competition today with the people important in your mom's life. Mother's Day is here, and it's her Super Bowl. So celebrate this Mother's Day by scoring her favorite gift of the day. Your mom will be able to travel in her mind to exotic India, sample the food, and laugh at the perils of raising a teenager in 1950s India through a new book called The Henna Artist. By the way, it's Reese Witherspoon's book club's pick for May. Then anytime in May, post a picture of you or your mom holding the ebook or book on Instagram or Facebook and tag the author at The Alka Yoshi. A donation of 4 meals per post, up to 10,000 meals will go to Feeding America. So folks, buy The Henna Artist today at your favorite bookseller, including Barnes & Noble, Amazon, Walmart, Costco, and Target, and make mom the ultimate winner in your family this Mother's Day. Kyle, let's talk. It's time to talk about the Raiders. The Las Vegas Raiders, that is. Two first-round picks here. They went wide receiver and corner. Number 12, Henry Ruggs. Wide receiver, Alabama. 19, Damon Arnett, cornerback, Ohio State. At 80, they took wide receiver running back Lynn Bowden from Kentucky. 81, wide receiver Brian Edwards from South Carolina. 100, Tanner Muse, defensive player, safety, I guess, linebacker from Clemson. 109, oh, wow, another Clemson player, John Simpson, an interior offensive lineman. And then at 139, they snagged cornerback Amik Robertson from Louisiana Tech.
I like the names here. I like the thought process here. Really wanting to stack up your skill players as much as possible. And that was a room that did stand out to me as far as needing some upgrades. And if Brian Edwards can be healthy, he's going to be a steal at 81. And Henry Ruggs, with his ability to go vertical and take the top off the defense, as they say in the biz. I like some things that the Raiders did here.
Yeah, I do too. Henry Ruggs, I mean, he was my wide receiver one, so I'm excited to see him there. Here's the thing, and we had a good takes on takes about him. If they brought in Henry Ruggs because they think it's going to make Derek Carr a better deep ball quarterback, I don't think that's going to be the case. He'll help, but don't think that Henry Ruggs can't win routes, you know, early and create after the catch. He's a do-everything receiver, despite him being a guy that runs super fast. You know, the big story here is Damon Arnett, pick 19. I don't think many people expected him to go in the top 20, but, you know, the Raiders didn't pick again until 80, and they had a big need at corner. They had to come away with a top corner. I think you can, you know, read between the lines and see the Clemson pipeline that they love to tap into and think that, you know, A.J. Terrell would have been their dream pick there at 19, but, you know, he didn't get by the Falcons. And so it felt like that Damon Arnett was probably the last guy on the list of corners they felt comfortable coming away with, and they didn't want to trade back and made sure they got their guy. And he's a good fit. I mean, press man corner in Paul Gunther's defense, that's what they want to do. And you get that from Damon Arnett.
Yeah. I don't hate the pick. It was the surprise of the first round, in my opinion.
Yeah. The first surprise.
But I think the biggest surprise.
Jordan Brooks was less of a surprise for you.
We at least heard whispers Jordan Brooks might sneak in there. And it was Seattle, so it's like, okay. Like, Seattle's not going to surprise me with anything they do anymore at this point.
Right.
But, you know, Arnett, it was so popular tied to A.J. Terrell. Like, it was in mock drafts everywhere for the last 3 weeks. Kind of became like one of the worst kept secrets in football, and that's why Atlanta jumped on him when they didn't get C.J. Henderson. Like you said, you don't pick again until 80 is the next guy in line. So, like, the thought process, I get it. Could you have moved back a little bit and still got David Arnett? Maybe. Could you have tried to pair 80 and 100 to go up and fill in that void and go a different direction at 19? Sure. But they didn't. So it was, for me, it was the biggest, like, out of left field, like, they did what? Surprise of the first round.
Yeah. Lynn Bowden will be fun in this offense. I think he's more of a running back, to be honest with you. But you've got two backs in Bowden and Jacobs. Even Jalen Richard. You got three good receiving backs, man. That, I mean, Bowden just kind of embodies those Raiders characteristics, just crazy physical and competitive, and, like, you know, he'll punch people and stuff like that. So you, I think it's a good brand.
I think his own teammates, too.
Even his own teammates, you know, you don't piss him off, you know, until he'll clock you. So that was a good brand pick. And Brian Edwards, I mean, is a true X-type receiver that can go up and get the football, can really kind of surprisingly good after the catch. He's gives you some return ability as well. Has some injuries. Maybe he would have went a bit higher, but they are serious about not having concerns about wide receiver anymore here. I think they've got their group established now.
You know, what's interesting here is between the receiving backs, Ruggs, and some of the ways that Brian Edwards was used, there's a lot of high congestion in short spaces for targets, isn't there?
It's true.
It's what Derek Carr does best, man, is to get that ball out inside of 6 yards of the line of scrimmage.
Yeah.
But you got guys now in Brian Edwards who's really physical, but even got like some end arounds and stuff like that. Lynn Bowden's used to getting the ball in his hands at or behind the line of scrimmage. Henry Ruggs can take a slant and house call it. Like, seemed like they kind of played to what Derek Carr's tendencies are, and it'll be interesting to see if they stay committed to that long term or if they end up pivoting and going a different direction in the long run, and how this personnel would complement that too.
They're Clemson guys. Tanner Muse, John Simpson. Sounds like they're going to use Muse more as a linebacker, which I think is the right thing to do.
Yes.
I mean, him and Littleton on the field on passing downs, a nice little group. High character guy, good athlete. Same thing with John Simpson, high character guy, former wrestler. You've got Gabe Jackson, Richie Incognito as your, you know, your guard. So he's not going to take either one of their jobs, but, you know, maybe it gives you, you know, at least an exciting young piece to kind of groom into that mold, obviously, that you like big physical mauler types. And then Amik Robertson at 139. Let's go. That's a steal, man. That's going to be a stud nickel corner. I have no doubt about that.
Weren't there some rumors about Gabe Jackson trade?
Yeah, there was. And when they picked Simpson, it made you think maybe there's something here.
Something to watch long term.
Yeah. They got their plan surprised in place. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, Incognito's playing good ball, but like, he's older. Like, when's the wheels going to fall off? I mean, maybe they won't. I mean, this guy takes care of himself, man. He works his ass off. So he'll get every ounce of his career out of himself that he can. But, man,
the,
I mean,
the only thing that's going to stop Richie is Richie, right?
Right.
Like, keep your head on straight, big guy.
I mean, if he's 40 years old still mauling people in the NFL, would you be surprised, man? I wouldn't.
No.
Dude's an animal. He's a freaking animal.
That's going to do it for us. The 2020 NFL Draft Divisional Recaps. We have made it 2 weeks of recapping each of the draft classes for each of the teams spread out, courtesy of division. Some draft classes we really liked. Joe, as is customary, how would you rank these draft classes?
Okay, I've got it this way. I've got Denver 1 very clearly. 2, I will go with the Raiders. 3, the Chargers. 4, the Chiefs.
Yeah, so if you asked me how teams valued players versus my own rankings, it would be Chargers, Broncos, Raiders, Chiefs. Again, I was not super high on Willie Gay, but if you ask me my favorite draft classes, I think I would go Denver at 1.
All right.
2. I guess Chargers 2, Raiders 3, Chiefs 4.
The fun thing about next week on the pod is that we are going to, again, get to like all 32 teams in a roundabout way.
Go ahead. I'm interested.
Well, that's it. Just make sure you hit the subscribe button.
Oh, that's all the teas you're going to give. Yeah. Okay.
Make sure you hit the subscribe button, rate, review, and share. And we'll make sure we talk about your team next week. Kyle Krabs, or Joe Marino with Kyle Krabs. Thanks for listening to the Draft Dudes podcast. Oh. Have a great weekend.
He's signing off. See you later, guys.